This is the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on what is a beautiful Monday in Nashville, Tennessee. And given the fact that it's the week of Thanksgiving, we could be doing a whole lot worse weather-wise. 54 degrees at the moment. It looks like sunny and 63 for Thanksgiving Day. So much for the weather. Let's check in up on the plateau with Coach Watson Brown, who's not there yet. May have disappeared. So let me try route number two, which is Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you, George?
Good. Good. Were you surprised yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I think it's one of those deals where, you know, against all odds, Mike Vrabel had this team ready to play, and they played well, or at least well enough to win.
Yeah. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was pretty good.
Uh-huh. Are you aware that Coastal Carolina defeated Appalachian State?
Appalachian State gagged. They were up with less than 4 minutes to go, and then not only gave up the lead, but then gave up another touchdown. So it looked a lot worse than it was, but they were in control of the game for much of the day and couldn't close the deal.
And you're bitter.
I'm not happy.
Yeah. I really feel for you.
I know you do.
Yes.
How did your pick go?
Who did I have? I think I had, didn't I have Central Florida?
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah. In the end, Central Florida doesn't play a lick of defense. And that's maybe not really different from years gone by, but Cincinnati's just a better football team, period. And I think they showed it Saturday. But anyway, enough of all that. Now let's do check in with Coach Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm doing great. It's nice to get in touch with you.
Same here. Same here. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did.
A lot of football?
A lot of football.
A lot of football.
A lot of jumping back and forth to different games.
Yeah. So, poor Ray is in here filling in for Zach.
Oh, and, God bless him.
Yes, and he may not be aware, Terry, that you demand an open to your daily Titans update. So, Terry, are you ready to go to work?
Sure.
Let's see if Ray is. No, Terry gets his own. Hold on. Terry gets his own open. You're not aware of that, are you? They didn't tell you that. So, Terry, let's you and I make it up. Terry McCore. Oh, wait, we got it. Oh, this is big.
Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update is brought to you by Main Street Media, with locations in Lebanon, Gallatin, Murfreesboro, Dixon, Pleasant View, and Springfield.
Terry, congratulations. Your open has been salvaged.
Yes, it's been found.
So, first of all, how did they come out of yesterday injury-wise?
Well, it sure looks like Jayon Brown is gone for the year.
Yeah.
When he got clipped and undercut by a Ravens defender there and landed awkwardly on that elbow, he's going to be missed and out for the year. Ty Sambrallo, who was their second option at left tackle after Taylor Lewan went out, he left with an undisclosed injury. There's a report out that he could miss the rest of the season. Mike Vrabel said they were continuing to evaluate him, so who knows how much time he'll miss. And then Vrabel was also sort of non-committal when asked if Jadeveon Clowney might return at some point this season. He just said that they would have to see what's going on. He's on IR right now, and that's all he would reveal. So not rosy on the injury front.
So, Terry, does this lead you to the suspicion that Clowney has been dealing with this for a good while?
Probably. He's always been kind of an injury-prone guy. You know, he had microfracture surgery on one of his knees. I'm not sure if this is the same knee that's bothering him now, but he's had issues like this throughout his career where he's not been able to stay healthy. And probably, if he wasn't dealing with it at the very outset, probably something that he suffered early in the year, tried to play through it. Maybe that's part of what's limited his effectiveness. And then finally they just decided that they needed to shut him down for a while.
Anything else you want to share?
Well, I guess you're probably wondering what kind of options that they have going forward at the left tackle position.
I am.
And at the inside linebacker position. We'll start at inside linebacker, where they're going to be missing Jayon Brown. They're going to probably get David Long back off the COVID list at the end of the week, so there's at least some decent news there. David Long is probably the likely candidate to step in and start alongside of Rashawn Evans. They also have other guys who Will Compton, the guy who filled in yesterday, could handle the role, and also Darren Bates might be an option there if they so choose. But at left tackle, that's where it gets kind of sticky. They've got a couple of options that they can go with. David Quisenberry was the guy that finished up yesterday and did a solid job because, you know, you come into that situation in the fourth quarter, he was on the field for not only the A.J. Brown drive, that, you know, touchdown drive that went, I think, 90 yards in 10 plays. He was also on the field, obviously, in the overtime when Derrick Henry broke free and scored from 29 yards out. So a pretty solid effort there from David Quisenberry filling in. That's one option. They can always flip Dennis Kelly from the right side to the left side if they want. And if they do that, you know, they could, lo and behold, maybe take a look at first-round pick Isaiah Wilson. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's even close to happening because Isaiah Wilson was not even considered yesterday when Sam Brilo went down. They immediately went to David Quisenberry to fill in, not even thinking of going that route. So that tells me that Isaiah Wilson was active yesterday only because they have to have eight linemen active on game day, according to the COVID rules and the expanded rosters and all that, and that that's the only reason they never considered Isaiah Wilson otherwise.
Okay, let me ask this, and then we'll end it. It's unusual when a first-round draft pick is nowhere near ready to play. Through a variety of weird stuff, he really hadn't seen the light of day. Is this becoming more of a, we're not sure anymore that he's good enough, he doesn't know plays, what's going on there?
I think it's a variety of things. I think it's conditioning. I think it's, you know, it's maturity. I think if you were going to sum it up in one word, it's probably the fact that Isaiah Wilson apparently is just immature and not ready to practice and play at the level that a professional football player is required to play at. And I think that leads to a lack of trust on the part of the coaching staff to put him out there, because they just don't feel like he's ready. You know, from an emotional standpoint, from a physical standpoint, certainly he ought to be ready, but he's not been in good game shape. He's had two stints on the COVID list, you know, and plus he's had two off-the-field instances. I just think that they're afraid to put him out there right now because they don't think he's ready.
Okay, good enough. Terry, as always, appreciate it.
All right.
Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update, brought to you here on WNSR. So, Watson, I'm going to turn you into a doctor. You ready?
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Well,
I would not want to be the patient.
Well, I got a feeling you know some stuff here.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow injured multiple ligaments in his left knee on Sunday. The MRI today showed Burrow tore his ACL and MCL and suffered other structural issues. So you know a lot more about this than I do. When you hear that, he's not going to be playing opening day next year, is he?
That is a bad knee. What they've just said there is a bad knee. He did a lot of damage, George. So I would say it's going to be really hard for him to be on opening day. Yes, that's a bad knee injury. That's about as bad as they get, to be very honest. So there you go.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. This is what bothers me about these first picks. They always go to the bad team, the worst team. And you got a franchise guy like this that goes to these bad teams. They're so bad, they got to play them quick. And I can remember us saying way back before this season started, man, we just hope he gets through the year because he's on a bad team. And sure enough, he's gone. I don't know what the answer to that is, but you can't take the best player in the draft and then have to play on these bad teams. Man, you're just taking a heck of a chance.
Okay, I want you to interpret for me the story I'm about to read. One day after Dabo Swinney suggested that Florida State ducked Saturday's game using a Clemson player's positive COVID test and as an excuse, Seminoles coach Mike Norvell emphatically denied the charge, saying the decision to postpone was made entirely by medical personnel. Asked if COVID-19 was the reason for the postponement, Norvell said absolutely and reiterated that his coaches and players were eager to play Saturday before the school's medical staff determined that it was unsafe to do so, following news that one Clemson player who had shown symptoms earlier in the week had been allowed to travel with the team to Tallahassee. And, of course, he used a good line here, football coaches are not doctors. So when you hear this, what do you think?
Well, I see it as two things, and then I saw where Dabo really took shots and said that this game should have been played. That I could see not playing it that day, and I really don't understand why Dabo would take a kid that had symptoms early in the week, knowing that he does that Friday test before they leave and there's a chance that test could come back positive, even though I guess there had been a negative earlier in the week on this kid. But if he had the symptoms, I believe I would have left him at home. And the way I understand it is he wasn't a factor in the game. He's a backup, maybe even down as a third teamer. So I don't understand Dabo taking him. Then I don't understand if they could have gotten the kid out of there and retested everybody, which they would have done again on Saturday, and then played. Dabo and them were there, and matter of fact, in the dressing room, I think. And they wanted to play on Sunday or Monday and were willing to do it, and Florida State said no. So it's a little bit, to me, George, on both sides here a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Terry, oh, by the way, Florida State was a 35.5-point dog at home.
I'm confident they were going to cover.
You know, I never thought I'd live to see the day that Florida State at home, 35.5-point dog.
No.
Two other stories. The Ravens have paused their activities due to COVID, and Tennessee basketball has got some issues, including a positive test for head coach Rick Barnes. And so, first of all, we wish for him and all the others at Tennessee a very speedy recovery. And Watson, I was absolutely crushed last night when I saw the news about the passing away of former Vanderbilt basketball star Terry Compton. That one is hard for me to believe, because like you, I'm old enough to have seen Terry play on that 74 SEC title team. It's just hard to believe he's gone.
It's really sad, George. It's the memories of watching him, that whole bunch play, and Lee, who we have on all the time, was on that team in Fowler.
Yeah.
And just to think that he's gone, I mean, geez, he was such a good player. Of all of those guys, I think he was the one I would get the most excited about. Because, I mean, he'd shoot them like they shoot them today and didn't get credit for it back in those days.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd let them go, George, from way out there. And, I mean, nothing but net. He was a special player. All of the Vanderbilt students loved him. They really enjoyed watching him play.
So I don't have any news, funeral arrangements, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If I come up with something, I'll certainly pass it on. He was from Horse Cave, Kentucky. And, Terry, Horse Cave, I want to say, as you're going past Bowling Green, is like mile marker 58 on the way up toward Louisville.
Yeah, it's right up in there with Cave City and right around in there in the Mammoth Cave area, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Terry not only was a really good basketball player in college, but as I got to know him later, just an absolutely wonderful human being, and I'm really saddened by his passing. I know we got to go to the break. Let me kind of tell you a little bit of what we've got coming. You're going to hear a little bit of Mike Vrabel's press conference from earlier this morning. Then we'll get Watson's analysis of what's going on. At 3:05, we'll shift gears and get into college football. And it may come up, Dan Mullen essentially telling Vandy, your facilities suck. That's basically what he said Saturday without saying it. And then we'll open the phones at 3:25 to see where you all want to take it. Okay, let's go to our first break. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
And now, ProMax Services is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the men and women of our U.S. military. Their tireless efforts will never go unnoticed. This salute is brought to you by ProMax Services, a veteran-owned name you can trust. For custom porches, decks, railings, and much more, trust ProMax Services. Call today at 931-637-1211. That's 931-637-1211. ProMax Services, proudly saluting our troops and veterans. They're people who care.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR, SkyScan forecast. For today, expect mostly sunny skies as we move to those afternoon hours. Your high, 54 degrees. For the nighttime hours, expect partly cloudy skies, low 36. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
The George Plaster Show, serving up the best sports coverage in Middle Tennessee from Nashville Sports Radio.
2:24 is the time. So for the second time in 10 months, the Titans go to Baltimore and show the Ravens who daddy is. Beat them badly in the playoffs in January. And then come from behind yesterday to get the victory in a big one at a time where they looked like they were teetering. Anyway, huge win to go to 7-3. About an hour and a half ago, Mike Vrabel held his weekly press conference. Here's what he had to say.
And Mike, I guess I'll just start with the news of the day. I guess within the last 30 minutes, the Ravens have announced they've closed their facility and are maybe checking on the protocols. Are you guys doing anything specifically on your end to take extra precaution?
Everybody here is in, the league is in the extensive protocol. Players are physically distanced in meetings, just reviewing the tape. Had 10 guys in the weight room at a time this morning, just following all those guidelines and protocols. And I guess we'll just wait to hear from the league on any of the contact tracing.
And one football question from yesterday, Landry specifically in overtime, he shows up on the stat sheet three different times on their three plays in that series. What did you see from him down the stretch for you?
He's been solid. We have high expectations for Harold and he has them for himself. And, we've asked him to do some different things yesterday, get some things off the ball yesterday. Just from the standpoint of scheme and stuff that we felt like would help us against him, which is probably, new for him, but he handled it well. He showed up and was productive and did a lot of the things that we asked him to do that we thought were important for stopping the run game.
Terrell?
Yeah, Coach, apparently – Some people on the field were able to hear you saying how the Ravens were wearing down. Is that something that was, really obvious as you guys were going into the fourth quarter with Henry and the offense going?
Yeah, being where we were down, 21-10, just proud of the guys that, I think the physicality, I think playing physical isn't something that's defined in the first a few plays of the game or the first quarter. I think it's something that's a cumulative effect that, our guys are willing to play that way throughout the game and against a Ravens team that is, just as physical. But it was evident, I think, from where I was watching that late in the fourth quarter as well into overtime, that I think that our effort and finish was the difference in the football game.
And I don't have an exact number, but you guys have multiple come-from-behind victories, especially in the fourth quarter or overtime. But what is it about this team that has that resiliency to be able to come back like this?
Just a testament to our players and their character and their ability not to panic and understand you know, how we're trying to play the game and the amount of time that we have and our ability to be efficient so that we don't have to, you know, burn timeouts. You know, we had to burn one there to get the 2-point conversion attempted, which is somewhat uncharacteristic, but you know, I know the guys were excited. We just have to get back to the huddle and understand what we may be doing in the situation. So they fight and they compete to the end, and that was evident yesterday.
Thank you.
Eric?
Hey, Mike. How big a step was it for Isaiah Wilson yesterday just to be active, to go through the game day experience? And then if Ty does have to miss some time, do you expect Isaiah to compete with Quisenberry there for potentially a starting role?
Sure. I mean, I think we just have talked to Isaiah about continuing to string some days together, positive days, and you know, coming in here and being prepared and practicing and proving to everybody that you know, he knows what to do and he plays in a manner in which we expect our offensive linemen to play.
And then just to clarify, potentially moving forward, do you expect Ty to be out, you know, long-term, potentially the season?
We'll continue to evaluate Ty and see where he is moving forward.
John Glenn?
Mike, looks like we're starting to see some bigger numbers on kind of a regular basis from Corey Davis. Wondering what your thoughts are on his improvement this season, if you've noticed anything in particular, how he's upped his game.
You know, I think as Corey continues to build his confidence through practice, that carries over to the game. You know, there's a lot of details that go along with, you know, being a great receiver, about the difference between man or zone and how you want to run a route and those things. You know, maybe where we're asking to do or the details of a play, you know, for play action and the timing that's required for him and the quarterback. And so those things showed up. The really good play strength showed up, catching the ball in traffic. You know, Corey was a big reason that we won that football game yesterday. And, you know, we'll just have to keep continuing to improve.
And another one on Clowney, I guess there have been some reports that he's considering surgery on his knee. Do you expect him back this season, you know, after the IR stint is up?
All I can tell you is that he's on IR right now. So when he would potentially return, I don't know. But it's not going to be this week or next week or the third week, however long he's going to be out with IR.
Thanks. Terry?
Mike, obviously losing Jayon was a tough blow yesterday. How do you can you talk a little bit about the contributions that he's made this season and over the years, and also a little bit about Will Compton stepping in and replacing him?
I mean, I think Jayon's been in there since I got here. You know, he's improved. I think that he's made a lot of huge plays for us, and unfortunate that he got injured yesterday. I know he'll support this team and his teammates however he can. But, you know, we'll have to get some guys going. We'll have to get guys in there, and, you know, we'll have to play with another inside linebacker. And yesterday that was Will. And we had a lot of guys that stepped in yesterday that hadn't started, hadn't played a bunch. And those guys were excited for their opportunity. And they took advantage of them. They were ready to go. And Will didn't have, you know, a whole lot of reps with the game plan, but we were able to go in and execute it, made a lot of tackles, was active, made tackles at or around the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I was happy for him and proud of him for being ready to go, taking advantage of the opportunity. And we'll try to get David Long back towards the end of the week as he returns from the COVID protocol.
Buck?
Hey, Mike, you got a lot of guys that took advantage of opportunities that you gave them yesterday with playing time. What did you see specifically from Amani Hooker, and what did you how did you feel about his week of preparation leading up into what was a starting role?
I think Amani's continued to improve. He's done some good things for us. He's a versatile player. I was able to make a great play there in the end zone, not foul. I thought that was a great play and the pass disruption. And then obviously to come down with the interception. I'm sure that, he'd like to have a couple tackles back. But I think he continued to work and he's been in there and he plays on third down for us. And then when Kenny wasn't able to go, Monty stepped in there and did some really good things.
And I guess at what point did you guys know that Kenny wasn't going to be able to go and what kind of happened there?
This was evident late in the week that when he reported symptoms that he was in the protocol and now he's working his way back through.
Okay, that is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel during his press conference earlier today. Terry, he was very vague about Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes, and, that's kind of come to be the norm. And I think that Vrabel is a guy who's always going to not say very much unless he really knows something. Like he was a little more open with Jayon Brown. I think it's, he knows that Jayon Brown is done for the year, so he was a little more open with that. But I think that with the other guys like Clowney and Sambrylo, he was a little bit, guarded, probably the right word.
Yeah. By the way, late word on the wire that our buddy Danny Evans's Field of Dreams game will again be the White Sox and the Yankees. It got canceled this year. Danny, as a lot of you know, would come on every Thursday for an hour on the show. He sort of sold Major League Baseball the idea of playing a game at the Field of Dreams. COVID sort of stopped that, but they've just made the announcement. White Sox Yankees next year, if and when they're able to play the game. We'll go to the break. It's 2:35. When we come back, it will be the moment that all of you have waited for. Watson Brown tells us what is now the book in the NFL about defending Lamar Jackson.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tout.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
Sports Radio.
Okay, Terry, do you know why we've played the final countdown? Terry, it's because we want to hear Watson's analysis.
Okay.
That's the final countdown to it.
One hit, one hit.
Oh, that was bad, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, Watson, I tried to build you up, and it didn't quite work the way.
It didn't fly too well, did it?
No, I thought it'd be a big hit.
You got to have something to work with, you know. You got to have chicken salad. You can't have the other.
Wow. Okay. So, Watson, let me start your analysis with this. I believe a lot like a hitter who starts to have a weakness, a hole in his swing, that there is now a book, whether it's been written or not, that is all over the NFL, and everybody is using the same report card to defend Lamar Jackson. You watch it every week. What do you think that report card is?
Well, it's. I think you're right in a general way. Anytime you play a run-first quarterback, there's two things you want to happen. If he runs, you want it to be from tight end to tight end. You don't want him outside. Number two, you want to rush him and not give him lanes to run, because a running quarterback is going to look for those lanes as quick as he does to throw the ball. And so I thought they did a good job of staying in their lanes yesterday, not giving him big openings, and for sure not letting him get outside when he scrambled. He didn't scramble a lot because he was kept in the pocket, and we didn't get to him a bunch, but we made him throw the ball and took his feet out. So I think that's any quarterback, and especially one that's one of the fastest people in the NFL playing quarterback in Lamar Jackson. But I thought the difference in the game, George, to lead to this and then let you ask me whatever, but first of all, the difference is, they don't have one skill player as good as theirs, not one. Their quarterback's not, their receivers aren't, their tight end isn't, and their running back sure aren't. Every one of our skill players are better players than theirs. And I thought the difference in the game was, in general, we can break it down, but in general, the difference in the game was, we went back to the Titan game plan. And we ran very simple patterns that we run all the time. We kept giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and it finally came through for us. Everything comes off of Derrick Henry. And they don't. They don't give the ball to Lamar Jackson. He got two call carries yesterday. And those zone replays, we're not going to take the dive and let him have it, so, and nobody is. But he got two carries and averaged 11 yards per carry. Now, and you headed down the stretch to win the game. You've got to put the ball in your best player's hands, and they don't do it. They don't let him do what he does best, and that's with those legs he's got. And I've got to give him carries down the stretch. But to me, the difference in the game was the patience that we had on offense, and they didn't have the same patience and use their best players the same way we use our best players.
Watson, when Lamar Jackson came out of Louisville, we all knew he had accuracy issues. The Ravens drafted him, at least in the short term. It's really paid huge dividends for them. But now it seems like you're at a little bit of a crossroads with him. And as I watched him yesterday with that three-quarter motion of his, I kind of said to myself, that's the old Vince Young motion, and to a point the same Marcus Mariota kind of throwing motion, and it creates some balls at times that I think are kind of puff balls that don't really have anything, that are just thrown up for grabs from a what's the word I'm looking for here? From a fundamental standpoint, is it out of whack with him?
Yeah, and I had three opportunities, yes. But he's what he is, and that's why if you're going to play him, you got to do what he does best. If you're a head coach or an offensive coordinator, George and Terry, to me, you start with your quarterback. You better do what your quarterback can do best first. Everything got to be built around that guy because he's such a big part of today's game. And they're not. They're trying to make him be Ryan Tannehill, and he's not. Ryan Tannehill's not Lamar Jackson. We use Ryan Tannehill, I think, the way absolutely is best to use him, and I don't think they do Lamar. There were three plays in that game yesterday that they make any one of the three, they win the game. They had a crossing route to Andrews in the fourth quarter, wide open. I mean, nobody close to him, and he missed him. And Andrews tried to get it with one hand and couldn't get it. That's the first one. The second one, they're driving the ball up eight, and they've made about four first downs, and they've crossed the 50. They're already near field goal range. One more first down, and on first down, they throw a bomb with Jackson. I thought that was crazy, and to get it picked off,
yeah.
And that started the drive that got us going. And then the third one was when they're to win the game and they have to kick field goal to tie. The play before that, they've got a tight end in the end zone wide open on the cross, and he lost his patience, took off scrambling to his right, George and Terry, if you remember. When you scramble one way, you basically now have half a field to work with. So it really hurts you when you do that. And he scrambled to his right. We covered everything up well. He had to throw the ball away, and they have to kick the field goal to go to overtime. If they make any one of those three plays, they beat us. And Ryan Tannehill will make those plays. It's not Lamar Jackson's bag, in my opinion.
Okay, your gut feeling on him. Is he going to regress and essentially be RG3 the second, or are they going to figure this out and he have a long and prosperous NFL career?
I don't think he's got but one chance, and that is to let him have the ball running it as much as he throws it. Now, you're going to say, well, it's hard to play quarterback and do that. Yes, it is. But he's not a typical quarterback in physicality either. He's a tough kid. He's a physical kid. He could go out and be a great wide receiver in a heartbeat. So I just think they have got to use him more in the running game, guys, than they do. I just do. I don't think they're near the football team when they want to be him as a passer and a couple of runs a game. He's not that guy. They're going to have to go get him one if they want to play that style. And they had the chance yesterday to finish that game off up eight. You got to give him the ball and let him make some plays with his legs, or at least see if he can. And then on the other side, we give it to our best player, and he makes plays. And I think that was the difference in the game. We went back to the Titan way. We have to keep the ball, wear people down, not let our defense play long periods of time because we're not great on defense. We're not. But we're very good on offense when we play to our style like we did yesterday. And I want to say this, George, real quick, and give the coaches credit. I don't think there's a team in the league that had two free agents we spent $22 million on and a first-round pick that have done nothing for this team really this year. Clowney's been injured, I think, maybe even before he got here, but at least maybe when he got here. Beasley, nothing. And Wilson has not even the first time he's dressed out. You lose those three spots and get nothing out of them, and you're sitting 7-3, you got to give the coaching staff some credit.
Great analysis on Lamar Jackson from Watson Brown. Terry, you've been listening to this. What do you have for Watson?
Well, I'm going to you know, and this is something that I put out on Twitter a little while ago, and George kind of touched on it, but I want to get your opinion. I think I see some of the same flaws in Lamar Jackson's game. Not saying that they can't be improved upon, that I saw in Marcus Mariota's game, in that most of his throws are coming inside the numbers, around the hash marks, and in the middle of the field, and he's throwing a lot more to tight ends because he's not making those fade routes to wide receivers and those deep comeback routes that most quarterbacks have to throw outside the numbers, and that's oftentimes a throw that kind of separates the elite quarterbacks throwing the ball from the not-so-elite throwing the ball quarterbacks. Do you agree?
Absolutely, I agree. And there's a difference in him and Marcus Mariota, though. When he runs, he's a runner. He's a ball carrier. He's a tailback receiver. He's a runner. Marcus was a quarterback running with the ball. This kid is not. When he runs. And that's why if you don't run him, he's not going to play up to his ability, Terry, because he's going to have throws that he has struggles making. And it's mostly not strong arm, it's accuracy. And I think sometimes because of the accuracy, he lets up on the ball and kind of aims it sometimes. Like that crossing route he threw yesterday, I thought he aimed the ball. I thought he aimed the ball, and it floated a little bit, and Andrews couldn't come down with it. But he's what he is, and he's a dadgum good football player if you use him proper. And they started out using him, but they were using him and doing it off of the read plays, meaning he's reading somebody, and if they don't take him, he keeps it. Well, everybody now has said, the heck with that. We'll let you hand it to your backs. We're not letting you keep it. So now you've got to design runs. They ran a counter play twice with him yesterday where he faked the ball on a speed sweep and kept it back the other way. It was a call run to him, and he gained 22 yards and two carries. And that's what I think they've got to do to get back on track. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But that's what they've got to do if they want him to be a great football player.
Let's talk a little bit about the Titans offense. And this is something that, we've been critical sometimes of them not being able to make the necessary adjustments at times. But I thought Arthur Smith made a fantastic adjustment yesterday with a depleted offensive line that lost the guy who was playing left tackle. On a couple of those runs late in the game and late in regulation and even the play that won the game in overtime, Arthur Smith decided that his tight ends and his wide receivers, because on one play in the fourth quarter, Henry ran behind Corey Davis and Jeff Swain, the big blocking tight end and their best blocking wide receiver, and got a sizable gain. And then on the play that won the game, it was Jonnu Smith and Jeff Swain both lined up on the left side in an overload of the line, and that's right where they went behind to spring him free when he cut back. Can you talk a little bit about that adjustment of using the tight ends and the receivers more in the blocking scheme so that run game doesn't bog down?
Well, I think what they do so well is they take one running play and they have a lot of little adjustments off of it. They run what I call the stretch zone. That is their play. The quarterback checks it a lot. He likes to run it to where there's what I call a one technique, where they can kind of let the center and the guard take that up to the linebacker, and Derrick Henry hits that seam. Yesterday, the Ravens played with two threes and a nose guard. They gave us a different look than some people have been giving us. When you play that, you've got seven in a box, you're playing man free. And then they mix zone coverage with a normal base defensive look with four down linemen and did a great job of reading our linemen and getting back in those zones to where we couldn't hit those little square ends. And I didn't think Ryan Tannehill did a good job of checking the ball down. Now, late in the game, they tried to get the ball away from us because we were running it well, and they got back to playing more man-free, and we beat them on some things. Guys, the play that A.J. Brown made was nothing to do with a play call. He catches that ball 6 yards from the first down to score the big touchdown to be able to tie the game. to go up by three with a two-point play. He catches it 6 yards from the first down on third down, and three people miss him, and he goes into the end zone and scores. There is a point where talent takes over, and that's what happened yesterday. Coach Smith did a great job of making sure the right people touched it, guys, at the right time. And when our best players touch it at the right time, we're making a lot of plays right now.
Great analysis by Watson Brown, as is the case every week after the Titans game on Sunday. We'll go to the break, wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40-pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
Five State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. Partly sunny, temperatures near 70. Mostly cloudy overnight tonight, lows around 50. Partly sunny on Saturday, temps upper 60s, and mostly cloudy Saturday night, lows around 50. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Here is the latest on the University of Tennessee basketball situation. Rick Barnes, at 66 years old, testing positive for the coronavirus, among others in that family, in the Vol basketball family. There's several others. The Vols have now canceled the Vol Classic, which is a multi-team event at Thompson Bowling Arena due to contact tracing after consulting with the Knox County Health Department. The Vols were scheduled to open their season against Charlotte on Wednesday and then VCU on Friday. Charlotte and VCU also have mutually agreed to cancel their Thursday game at Thompson Bowling. Okay, when we come back for the 3 o'clock hour, we'll get into some college football. We'll open the phones at 325. Get ready. It's Reaction Monday on WNSR.
WPDQ,
Frankspurrow.
On air and online, Sports Radio WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. Before casting their 4 votes to certify the Michigan election, the Board of State Canvassers, meeting virtually, is hearing from a variety of sources, including former Michigan Secretary of State Christopher Thomas.
You're not a body to investigate fraud. You don't have the tools to do that. The statute doesn't give you the authority to mandate documents or compel testimony.
President-elect Biden's expected to name Anthony Blinken as Secretary of State and former Secretary of State John Kerry to lead the fight against climate change. Biden's old boss, President Obama's reaction.
You're seeing a team develop that I have great confidence in.
Clinical trial results show a COVID vaccine developed by British company AstraZeneca and Oxford University is 90% effective, and it's far cheaper than its 2 competitors. This is ABC News.
I'm Dr. Stork. Today, stronger immunity and better nutrition are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best provides 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, all helping you maintain a strong immune system and better overall health. Plus, you get all that farm-fresh, delicious taste. These are no ordinary times, so why choose an ordinary egg? Only Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer.
Rest easy with the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. You can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Will it help with her snoring?
I snore.
Does Rudolph have a red nose?
Yes, it can be gently raised on either side to help relieve snoring.
So you can really promise better sleep.
Not promise, prove. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Ask your smart speaker to find your local Sleep Number store today.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls. The kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu beef. Bob's Steak and Chop House is ready to host your private holiday parties and get-togethers. And if you need a stocking stuffer, there's no better gift than a Bob's Steak and Chop House gift card. To book your private holiday party, call 615-761-3707. Located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Bob's Steak and Chop House.
George Plaster, WNSR.
Here we go.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. Welcome back to the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
We welcome all of you into the 3 o'clock hour, along with Watson Brown and Terry McCormick. We will open up the phones at 325 to take it wherever you all might want to take it in what I like to refer to as Reaction Monday. But nonetheless, we got a lot of things going on in college football. This will be a week where Tennessee and Vanderbilt square off in Nashville in a weird setting where there, for the most part, won't be anybody there. Alabama and Auburn go at it this weekend in Tuscaloosa in the Iron Bowl. Something tells me there will be some people there for that. And so you're starting to get into the rivalry kind of games. Terry, let me start with you. Did you get a chance to watch Tennessee-Auburn?
Yes, I did watch some of it.
What did you think?
Well, I just think that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt continues to stick with Jarrett Garantano and, you know, continues to give him opportunities. And to my way of thinking, in a season that's lost, you've got to find out if Harrison Bailey is the answer or not, you know, for 2021 and beyond. I mean, because you look at the situation, and I'll throw Vanderbilt's situation. Now, the Commodores know that they're not good, and Derek Mason may very well get fired at the end of the season. But one thing that Vanderbilt has done, and that is in place, provided he doesn't transfer out if there's a coaching change, is they've got this kid, Ken Fields, and he's pretty good. He's improved. He's taken some hits. He's improved. He's struggled at times. But he is much further along. Vanderbilt is much further along in the quarterback game than Tennessee is in regards to the future. And to me, that is a big, big concern for the Vols.
So, Watson, there is the assumption that Philip Fulmer, he's the guy that hired Jeremy Pruitt, and that Jeremy Pruitt will be coming back no matter what. But you know how boosters can be. If Jeremy Pruitt were to lose to Vanderbilt Saturday, is there a chance he's not back next year?
I just don't think so. You've gone through so many guys. And I think you've got to give the guy his due process now, and I think it's going to take another year to know, and I just don't think they're going to do that. I don't know if they can afford to do that. What was it that they're losing up there? I don't know, but, I mean, he's made people take salary cuts, and a lot of the coaches wouldn't take cuts, and they've got money issues, and it's a lot of money, and I'm not sure they can find a donor that's willing at this point. There's been donors throw it out before. I'm not sure they can find a donor to do that. I don't think so. I think he'll be back whether he beats Vanderbilt Saturday or not.
Do you see anything in Tennessee that gives you any hope for a surprise or two before the year's over?
Not if they don't get better quarterback. I mean, their whole issues are right there. The rest of the football team is not that bad at all. But they just don't get enough out of the quarterback play. George, I mean, they're going in to, what, tie the game, take the lead, whatever. I can't remember. Maybe they were down 7. Maybe they're going to tie the game. And nice drive right down the field, and they've got a, I think it's first down. I know it was early downs. It might have been second down, but it's in the early downs, and they run, look to me like a run-pass option, as we call them, where it's a running play and a pass play with receivers at the same time, and the quarterback decides what he's going to do. And Jared just fakes, but decides he's going to throw it. The receiver gets banged and doesn't get a clear release. He keeps hanging there, hanging there, hanging there, hanging there, and then just throws a softball on a skinny post. He just throws a softball in there that either one of us, any of us, could have picked off. It, when you have a run-pass option, guys, it's like a screen. You either throw it on time, or you throw it away, or you take off and run yourself because your lineman could be downfield. And he just kept holding the ball. It's the worst thing you can do on a run-pass option. And that play in itself was so fundamentally unsound by quarterback play. And that one play, in my personal opinion, cost them the football game.
Okay, let's get to the Vandy situation. You all have heard a lot from me about the lack of commitment over there, and I have oftentimes said to myself, why doesn't Greg Sankey basically set up a meeting with this new guy, Dearmeyer, and say, let's cut the crap. Are you all either in or out? Because if you're in, you certainly don't look like it. And then there has been this thought from me, maybe in my dreams, that some other SEC coach will come into town and say, you know what, this situation is a joke. And it's pathetic that this school doesn't have an administration that cares. Well, for all intents and purposes, Dan Mullen at Florida did that on Saturday. Now, he didn't use the words, but his actions spoke plenty enough without the words. He basically brings his team to the stadium 45 minutes before kickoff, which is unheard of in college football. When I was announcing, our visiting teams would get there hour 45 to 2 to 2:15 before a game. That's what I always thought was the norm. Then he basically doesn't take his team into the visiting locker room because it's so small and so cramped, and he just basically holds all his stuff outside. At halftime, they didn't go in. The Florida team is under that little awning near that horseshoe end zone with the scoreboard. And Watson, without saying it, he basically was saying, this is a rinky-dink facility in the SEC.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that was his intent at all. What he was doing was he's protecting his players. He just felt like, I put them all cramped in here with this COVID issue like we've had, and we've had some COVID problems at Florida, and I go in here and put these guys on top of one another, we could end our season. We could have all kind of problems. So that's what he meant by it, but it led to what you're saying, George. And to say the least, I've been in those locker rooms a bunch through my time and as assistant coach and as the head coach. And they are small. The Vanderbilt locker room's the same size, the stadium locker room. They're both the same, and they are small. There's no doubt about that. I thought it ended up hurting him because it got his team out of rhythm in the first half, in my personal opinion.
They were asleep.
But he did it in a way to protect. Now, is it bad? Nobody makes a great visitor's locker room. Let's use Tennessee, for example. I can't tell you how many times I've been in that locker room as a player and a coach through all my years. And it is not a great locker room for visitors, but it's big. There's a lot of space. You can move around. You've got place to tape. It's so much larger than the Vanderbilt locker room. So, in essence, what Coach Mullen did, in my personal opinion, guys, is very fair. He was protecting his guys from the COVID and didn't want them on top of one another in that locker room.
Okay, Terry, I'm a little more cynical than Watson. I think he knew exactly what he was doing, which was sort of to say, this is a joke and I'm going to kind of sort of point it out. So now that he's done that, does this wake Greg Sankey out of this Vandy coma that he's been in to finally say, okay, visiting coaches are starting to yell and scream about it. I got to do something.
Probably not. And here's why. I think that, you know, they've been good with the status quo for how many years with Vanderbilt, this lack of commitment to football. I think, you know, there's no reason to think that anything is going to change, you know, just because Dan Mullen complains about it. I think when you get right down to it, most of the coaches in the SEC, while they know the facilities and the program are substandard, they like having, you know, what the closest thing there is to a gimme game on their SEC schedule, because especially this year, because, you know, they're not allowed to schedule South Alabama or Central Michigan. So therefore it makes it, you know, I think it just gives them the closest thing they're going to have on their schedule to a win where they could maybe get ahead and rest some starters.
Okay, Watson.
Yes.
I would consider you a little bit of an historian of the game. Okay?
I'm old enough to be, yeah.
Well, that was going to come up. But, I mean, let's face it. You and your brother have been synonymous with college football now for 30-some-odd years. Okay. So I am challenging you at this moment to tell me what happened 36 years ago today in college football.
Oh, gracious. 36 years ago today in mm-hmm. college football. I have no clue, my man.
1984.
No clue whatsoever. None.
Okay.
What was it?
Hold on. Terry?
I'll say the Hail Flutie pass.
Terry, did you cheat?
I did not. I just knew that it happened in 1984, and that's the only thing I can remember that happened in college football in 1984.
Let's listen to it right now.
Here we go. Here's your ballgame, folks, as Flutie takes the snap. He drops straight back, has some time, now he scrambles away from one hit, looks, uncorks a deep one for the end zone. Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
He got it!
He got it!
Touchdown! 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 Touchdown!
Okay, now I'm assuming this is Boston College Radio. Now, given the fact that it was 36 years ago, the quality has a little Al Jazeera radio to it. But, Watson, my buddy and yours, Paul Kennedy, sent me that earlier today. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to run that.
That's neat. I think I was at Rice at that point. 36 years ago as a head coach. I do remember the play, and we opened the season the next year with Miami, by the way, at Rice.
Wow.
Opened the season at Miami the next year at Rice, and it was, let's see, that would have been Jimmy Johnson's first game at Miami. And, George, in that game, we went no backs, no huddle the whole game, every single play in the game. We did not huddle, and we never had a back in the backfield. It was five wide receivers every single play. I go to our college show the next Monday after the game's over. This guy calls in first call. He says, "Coach, that's pretty neat. You got a lot of points, but can you do that for the rest of the season?" I said, "No, we cannot do that for the rest of the season. That would not work."
Do you remember the final score?
I'm going to say 42-28 or 42-35, something.
Yeah, not bad.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
It was a good game for a long while in the game. They pulled away, I think, in the fourth quarter, but we scored a lot of points in the game.
My guess is that somewhere tonight you'll probably see that on SportsCenter. Terry, when you do, the thing that strikes me is here's little old Doug Flutie, who I ended up playing pickup basketball with while he was living in Nashville years ago. And by the way, for the record, he did not like my level of ferocity on the defensive end. And I told him, "Doug, I'm 35. I don't care." But
you need to take some of his Nugenics or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That might help you a little bit, bud.
Right. But the thing that you'll notice tonight when you see it, that guy, for being a little guy, could hum it.
Oh, he had an arm now. He was a good player in the NFL. Didn't he go to Canada for a little bit, too? I can't remember. And the other thing is neat about the guy that caught it is his roommate and best friend.
Gerard Phelan.
Yes, that was his roommate and best friend that caught the pass. So, pretty neat.
Okay, Terry, now let's put you on the chopping block.
All right.
What is Doug Flutie remembered most for in the NFL?
He had a couple of things. He had his drop kick extra point.
Bingo!
I
believe he's the last player to ever drop kick an extra point.
And made it.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Also, he was the Bills quarterback and they made it a conscious decision, Wade Phillips did, to bench him before the playoff game that turned into the Music City Miracle. Might have been a different outcome if Flutie had been on the field in that game.
Might have been different if they'd covered the kick.
Might have been.
16-15. Jeff Fisher, speaking of which, told me a great story recently. If you look at the film of that play, there is a young kid, like 9 or 10 years old, running down the field with Dyson. That young kid, who probably should not have been in that area, was Jeff's son, Brandon, who is now an assistant on the Auburn staff. The next time you see that film footage, watch that. He said it's absolutely hilarious to watch Brandon's reaction.
That's a neat memory, though.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a neat memory.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Obviously, we've left a little meat on the bone with college football, but there are other things that went on this weekend you may want to talk about. We'll turn it now into Reaction Monday. And so I invite your phone calls at 844-5600. Again, that's 844-5600. If there was something you saw this weekend that got your attention that you want to talk about, I want to hear from you. Now, I will admit up front, only got two lines open, so as soon as a line is available, I'll let you know it. Now, Watson, as we go to the break, let's tell folks about Jody Jones Dentistry, because you and I think that is a total winner.
Georgia, it is a absolute total winner and created totally by Jody Jones. And putting it together, paying for the facility, you just got to go see it. As we say every time we do this, just go see the facility. And then when you walk in the door, you're going to feel the warmth of everybody there and a family feel. And there's a professionalism that Jody is willing to pay to get the best, and he's got great hired help. And gracious, he can do any of the top surgeries or anything that you need in a dental way that's some of the tougher things that have to be done. Nothing missing in this practice, George. Everybody's got to go. And I think once they go, they're going to stay right there with Jody for the rest of their time in Nashville.
Amen. Let me give you some particulars. If you want to set up an appointment, it's simple. Dial them up at 259-5100. The new facility that Watson alluded to is at 55 Music Square East, and it's beautiful. If you want to learn more about Jody's practice, simply go on his website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out.
give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Have a say in this year's Pro Bowl vote. Presented by Verizon.
Mahomes gonna take off for it!
The Pro Bowl may look different this year, but the best players will still be recognized.
Best in the business, baby!
So, who showed up?
Kyler Murray! What a strike!
Who brought the energy and the hustle?
JJ with the hit, the ball is out!
Who made the historic plays?
The speed of DK Metcalf!
Show your love, cast your vote, and make sure your favorite players still earn their place on the 2021 Pro Bowl roster. Vote today at NFL.com/Pro Bowl Vote.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Don't let the stress of cooking during the holidays make 2020 any tougher. Let Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel take that worry off your plate. From the Pennington roasted turkey to the old-fashioned pumpkin pie, Kitchen Notes can handle all your Thanksgiving needs. Kitchen Notes will fill your table and give you a much-needed break. Place your order online at Open Table and search Kitchen Notes. The Thanksgiving feast to go from Kitchen Notes, located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny, temperatures low 50s. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows drop to the mid-30s. Tuesday is going to be a mostly sunny day. Gusty winds near 20 miles per hour and temperatures expected in the low 60s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, let's see where we take this at 325. Got loaded lines, and as soon as the line comes open, I'll let you know it because I want a few more of you out there in what I call Reaction Monday. What did you see this weekend that really got your attention that you want to yap about? I'll let you know when a line comes open. Eric in Nashville, you're the leadoff hitter, and you are on WNSR.
Well, George, I went from the penthouse to the outhouse with my picks this past weekend. I'm now 11-12-1. I was 0-3. I couldn't believe it. I had Jacksonville plus the points, and, of course, they lost 27-3 to Pittsburgh. Then I had Miami over Denver because I thought Miami's defense would ravage Denver, and they couldn't score. It was the other way around. Denver got 6 sacks on two, and he got benched, and they couldn't score. And then, of course, had the Cowboys losing to the Vikings, had the Vikings win by 7, and, of course, the Cowboys win the first game in about a month. And now, of course, Thanksgiving Day, them and Washington, football team for Washington, playing for first place in the NFC.
In a related note, the loser will accept a bid to the NIT.
Yeah, or to the toilet bowl.
Or both.
Yeah, George, I wanted to primarily talk about the Titans yesterday, George. Just impressed, especially that second half. A.J. Brown twice, fighting off tackles, and then getting that touchdown on that second one. And also, if you remember the play before, Tannehill had the terrible snap where he got sacked, and I thought they were going to have to settle for a field goal. And I don't know if it was because Ben Jones was out, because, of course, I heard in the game there was another terrible snap where it was running the Wildcat to Derrick Henry where he had to fall on the ball. but also Corey Davis with his five catches, 113 yards, still coming through with the passing of his brother to cancer, and also Derek Kramer with that big run in the overtime because he had that great second half. George, before I leave, two things. One, I'm also excited about tonight's game with the Rams and Tampa Bay with that all-African-American officiating crew. Really excited about that. But the other thing is, I think about the Titans game that not a lot of talk's been talked about. But of course, I think they went for it on fourth down. I guess it was, wasn't it, Lloyd Woodside threw the pass?
Yeah.
I guess it was backup runner back, and I think they got a field goal out of it. That was kind of, some would say, maybe a little bit desperation, but that was also a big momentum shift because, if of course, that doesn't get completed. Of course, we're talking about it like crazy, but that was a big gamble on Vrabel's part, and it worked. Just talk about that a little bit. Good talk,
yeah.
George.
Hey, Eric, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I have a dream.
Okay.
Okay. You just said Dallas and Washington Thanksgiving Day for first place.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely absurd and kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
I think that Dallas will start Leon Lett and bring back a Thanksgiving memory from the past. What do you think?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, George. I tell you the favorite in that division probably be the Giants now with their defense and everything. Dallas is easy schedule, but you got to feel for Philly. Their next four games are against all winning teams. They play Seattle next Monday night, then they play at Green Bay, then they play at Arizona, and then they play the Saints at home. That's the Eagles' next four games. And it wouldn't surprise me if they lose all of them.
Thanks for the call.
Good talk to you. Just take care.
So, Terry, let me start with you. So, the NFC East is going to have a farce champion that will get a home game. Do you think that the competition committee finally says, okay, we're not going to have some 5-11-1 team hosting a wild card that goes 11-5? Do you think the competition committee finally steps in and says, we got to do something?
Probably not. I think they would regard it more as a fluke. Now, do I think they should? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I think what you're going to see is that whoever wins the NFC East, whether it's Dallas or Philly or Giants or Washington, any of those four, you're going to see the highest seeded wild card, which is probably going to be Tom Brady and the Bucks, come in there and probably walk out with a 20-point win. It's going to be the closest thing you can get to having a bye as a wild card. But I doubt the league does anything about it. They probably just consider it a fluke, although it has happened a few times where a 7-9 team has won a division and hosted a playoff game. In fact, happened with the Seahawks a few years ago, and they upset the Saints.
Yeah, Watson, I think what should happen is the winner of the NFC East should have to play Murfreesboro, Oakland.
I think I'd take Oakland in the points.
Oakland would be no more than a 3-point dog in that game.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, got a line open now at 844-5600. Somebody who saw something this weekend that they want to yap about, jump in and keep the ball rolling. Tony in Nolensville, how you doing?
I'm doing good, George. Hello, Watson. How you doing today, Terry?
I'm good, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
That's good, buddy. Hey, let me tell you something, guys. You know, Zach's out today. Isn't it interesting? He's out today after going 0-2, after popping off on Friday.
You know, I'm kind of happy about it.
I knew you were.
He's been talking a lot of trash, and this weekend, and he was all, I mean, you know, early in the week, I've identified a 5-star. South Carolina at home. How did that work? Zach, if you're listening, welcome to the crowd.
Right. And then he took the Falcons, too.
Yeah.
Watson, with your pick, the way you won and did all right, and George, I got to tip my hat to you, it seems they're trying to come up for a jingle for you. And it seems like everything's going in your favor right now. I keep picturing something like you being on a, like Oliver Douglas on a tractor, you know, out in Green Acres. I think that'd be something that'd be right down right there for you. It'd be a pretty accurate.
So you think TV commercials are in my future?
Well, at least the jingle of something for Watson. I mean, Watson, it's long overdue, and after him going, I think he only got the only one that got a check mark this week. I think is pretty good.
Watson, who'd you have?
I had Wisconsin. I had Northwestern. Yeah.
That is one well-coached football team.
Oh, man. Isn't it amazing that Northwestern's right there in the Big Ten like Vanderbilt and the SEC? Wow. Daylight and dark.
George, I went 3-1 on my picks. I was pretty glad of that. And, of course, after I went off air the other day, I noticed Chandler kind of called me out, and he went against all my picks. So, Chandler, you went 1-3. I thought I'd remind him of that if he's listening. And two more things, guys. I'm going to throw something at you. Got a little quiz for you. First of all, George, do you know what happened 38 years ago this past Friday?
38 years ago, 1982, on that date, Vanderbilt beat Tennessee 28-21.
Correct. But it was also the play. Stanford and
Cal. Oh, that's right.
And had Stanford wins the game, they play Vanderbilt in the Hall of Fame bowl.
Oh, I have a great story on that one, Tony. I'll tell it real quick, George. We're in the locker room, and Hall Thompson's giving us.
Watson, hold on a second. Tony, go ahead.
I've got one more thing, guys. This is a stat I heard this weekend. Maybe y'all heard it. It blew me away. Since 2007, Alabama has won 7 football games, conference football games, by 50 points or more. The other 13 SEC schools combined has only won 6 50-plus-point games. I thought that was great.
And that's why Tony is a heck of a caller. Nice way to end
George.
It. Tony, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, Watson, let's hear the story. So Vandy, because of that win, is going to go to the Hall of Fame Bowl in Birmingham.
We're
take it from there.
After the win, and Hall Thompson comes in and gives us the bid to go to the Hall of Fame Bowl. And everybody's excited, and Hall says, and you're going to play Stanford. We're going to put the two best pass offenses in the country against each other. Well, everybody's excited and slapping hands, and all of a sudden Hall says, hold it, hold it. Well, boys, you all are now playing Air Force. Stanford just lost to California.
Wow.
So we didn't even get to see the play, and yet we're a part of it. So that's exactly how that went down. Isn't that unbelievable?
So, Watson, help me with this. John Elway was at Stanford at that point, was he not?
Yes, he was the quarterback at Stanford.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a deal.
Yeah. Okay, good story. Let's go to the break at 3:35, and let me say hello to my buddy Caleb Clifford and the folks over at Doobie Orthopedics. Caleb, I want you to play doctor. You ready?
Well, I guess I can do that.
Okay. Have you seen the news on Joe Burrow?
Yes. Well, kind of. I watched it. I haven't seen what the most recent is.
Okay. It's not good. That would be one way of saying it. Torn ACL and MCL, and let me go a little farther. Multiple ligaments in his left knee. An MRI showed he tore his ACL and MCL and suffered other structural issues. Now, you're in that business. You know this stuff. Can he be ready by opening day, September 1, let's say, of 21 for the Bengals?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think in this instance, we have to look at the most prolific healer we've ever seen and look at Adrian Peterson. He was able to come back within 8 months of an ACL with similar, basically, injuries. So with the right therapy and the right team behind you in your recovery, you can get back, especially with him. I mean, he's probably one of the most prolific quarterbacks of, I guess, this generation, I guess. You know, with LSU, he did pretty good, so hopefully he can get back.
So you think he will be back?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, everybody heals up a little bit differently. I'd like to think so. I mean, if he has a good team behind him and helps with his recovery process, but it's just hard to say.
Okay. Caleb obviously is one of the leaders in the Doobie Orthopedics team. If you need help, if you've got pain and you think they can help you, Caleb, how do they reach you?
Just pick up the phone and dial us at 615-391-4545 and just tell them I sent you.
I'll talk to you later. Okay, got one line open right now at 844-5600. Somebody hit it. We'll continue Reaction Monday where you pick out something you saw that got your attention. We're back with more in a moment.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Allstate now has deeper savings, and deeper savings require deep thoughts and a deep voice, like mine. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise, and save even more for driving safely. Visit allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. As someone once said, saving today is money tomorrow. That's deep.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-Ys is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
And now, Donna Hudson, Benchmark Realty, is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave and honorable men and women who fought and continue to fight for the safety of our country and American way of life. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This salute is brought to you by Donna Hudson, Benchmark Realty. Folks, are you in the market for buying, renting, or selling? Then call Donna Hudson, Benchmark Realty today at 615-354-4727. That's 615-354-4727. Donna Hudson, Benchmark Realty. She's a professional who cares.
This is Johnny Ballpark. Frank's inviting you to join me every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. I'll have college football insights from the SEC to the Top 25, previews, interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. Brought to you by Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark Realty, Braza Flooring, Casa of Nashville, and the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Every Saturday morning at 10 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
3:41 it is. Have I put you to sleep today? Reaction Monday's been a little bit quiet. Okay, I want a hearty soul, a red-blooded American who saw something this weekend that got their attention to fill up that one last phone line. 844-5600 is the number. Lance in Nashville, welcome.
George, you got me?
I sure do.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I've got something for you, but first of all, I'd like to mention Terry Compton myself, George. Hey, another one of my heroes there, Coach. That team in 74, that's the loudest that gym's ever been, maybe than one other time when Wilcox went off on them in 1990 on Tennessee and NIT, down 17 to half and come back, won that game. But back in 74, that championship team, it didn't get no louder. It's something I was going to talk about, Terry. He was real good friends with my late father. My late father was USSSA director of women's softball with the entire state, and Terry had some women teams, and they got pretty close. But anyway, Terry and the only two players, well, I got to throw Maravich in there too, but the two players that could shoot a 20-foot bank shot were Mike Rhodes and Terry Compton. And Terry would lean into that shot. He always looked like he had pneumonia. He's a real white and sickly looking, that wavy hair, but he would kind of remind me a little bit of Tom Hagen. But he would lean into that shot and just a hero. And I think it was COVID, and that's such a sad thing. Just another one of my heroes. Can I add one thing, George?
Sure.
You're talking about things you saw this weekend. Now, let me explain this as I say this. There was a time in the game where the Titans got called for defensive holding, and if you caught it, the announcer said, well, sure, you could see the holding with the big red gloves. Now, let me explain that. Let's go back in a marching band. You have a marching band, a high school marching band, or a military marching band. They'll wear something over their black shoes that's called a spat. It's called spats. And the reason they would put that over their shoe is so you would make sure you paid attention to their feet. You know, you brighten them feet up, and when they're marching in line, it makes it look even sharper because it shines out at you. Now, look, when these guys are playing, I just suggest this. If the other team's dressed in having to wear the white, as you wear the colors, then wear white gloves and let your hand blend in with the jersey. And vice versa, if they wear solid colors, wear the black gloves. I'm just simply saying that them red gloves, man, if you're holding somebody, they stick out like a Mickey Mouse hand. I mean, you know, everybody in the world could see it. I just like to make a suggestion. I know it don't mean that much, but you want me to tell you something I saw? And that's what I saw. And Watson, I'm telling you, Bubba, I'm going to come to cook one in the spring, and we're going to sit down and have a cup of coffee. You don't do that. I'll buy it. But I'm telling you, we started losing that stadium out there. The day they fired you, the day they fired Watson, we lost 4,000 fans, bam, right there. And it just gradually went to what it is today. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it, George.
Thank you.
Go Vanderbilt.
Okay, Terry, are you...
Tell Mandy Lance to get up here and get that coffee. I can't wait till he gets here. I want to say that real quick.
Right, and if you throw in free pie, he'll go to Lebanon.
That's how I'll meet him in Lebanon.
So,
yes.
Terry, were you aware of the info about the white gloves?
I was not. That's interesting.
Why don't you pass that on?
I think I might.
That might be good stuff. So, yes. You know, I didn't ask a lot when we got to the college stuff, but I watched Northwestern Saturday, and Watson, for all the world, when I hear some of these schools that are looking for coaches, somewhere in the background of that, I would want to find out if Pat Fitzgerald has, you know, he's been there 15 years now. Would he like another challenge? Every time I see them, they are really well coached.
Well, and he's very patient, George. He'll have a bad year, and then he comes right back, and he'll put a good team together. And Pat's had opportunities to leave and hadn't, so it has crossed his desk. He's a Northwestern Wildcat, George, through and through, and I always said if I had been good enough that I never would have left, if the record had ever been good enough, I would have never left Vanderbilt the same way. There's a point in you sometimes where your blood just runs to where you just, that's what you want to do. I think that's exactly what Pat Fitzgerald has done, and Northwestern is very lucky to have him because of his attitude also of being a Wildcat and wants to be one.
When you watch them, what is it? What is his game plan, the blueprint that he has put together for Northwestern to win?
There is a confidence and physical toughness that I see carry over every year with his teams. They're very physical. They believe that'll win games for them. They're disciplined, physical, tough players. I think that's what he sells behind the scenes. He don't talk about it a lot out in the public, but I think that's exactly what he sells. It was what he was as a player. He was an overachiever as a player and a really good linebacker, and I think that's exactly what the guys buy into. It's now being passed on from team to team since he's now been there and got that, if you want to call it, culture in place. And they just believe if we're physical enough and disciplined enough, we're going to win our share of games, and that's basically what they do.
Terry, I don't know what his contractual status is, but you know what? When I hear a Matt Rhule, who's a terrific football coach, go to Carolina, I do wonder if Pat Fitzgerald would do a nice job on the pro level.
Maybe so. You wonder, you know, he's comfortable there in Chicago. You wonder if the next time the Bears job came open, if they would consider him.
Did you by chance also have some breaking news?
Yes, a little bit.
Terry. Okay. Not before it's time. Now, Ray, poor Ray is in here, and he's having to run blind on this. We need the breaking news sounder. Let's see if we can get it. Going once, going twice, go. Terrence.
Yes. Okay. That doesn't sound like our normal breaking news sounder, but...
It sounded like it was on Geritol.
Yes. Adam Thielen, wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings, headed to the COVID-19 list after testing positive today.
Wow.
So, another star quality player in the league. You saw the two Ravens players. It was two guys that... played against the Titans yesterday. One of them, J.K. Dobbins, and the other, Mark Ingram, I believe, that tested positive in the Ravens facility.
Watson, you know more and more. I am becoming confident. 15 cancellations this past weekend. That whole thing is going to get pushed back. And Barrett Salee, who put this out here, January 1, conference championship games, January 16th, national championship semifinals, national title game on January the 30th. I honestly believe there's a real shot that's the way it's going to go down.
I'll believe it when I see it, but George, we keep having more, and I am even more worried about basketball. Good gracious, of all the ones already canceling before they start. It's unbelievable. Saw where Arizona State has had to cancel.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Duke has canceled. A game with Gardner Webb. There's a bunch of those, and they ain't played a game yet.
No.
So it's no doubt this virus right now is getting worse and spreading quicker than it had even close to spring and summer, George. So, boy, I bet all these commissioners are sitting there saying, get ready, boys. We're going to have some decisions to make.
Yep. Terry, guess what we're going to do when we come back?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do.
We're going to wrap up the show?
Well, yeah. I mean, we do that at the end. I mean, we're close to the end. But what do we sometimes do in that final segment?
What do we sometimes do? I don't know. What do we sometimes do? We do a lot of things.
Gifts to the people.
Oh, we're going to review that?
No, we're not going to review.
Oh, heavens no. He ain't going to do that.
Oh, yes, we are, Watson. This was a very good week.
Oh, you did good this time.
Did
right?
good this week.
I these because it's Friday.
Yeah. No.
You're handing out the Monday night gift to the people.
You got that right, big boy. Stay tuned. Oh. It will be a... What was that?
Oh.
Same to you, pal. Gifts to the people when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Bart Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
This is a consumer alert. Attention timeshare owners. Are you dissatisfied with your timeshare? Tired of paying maintenance fees that increase year after year for a timeshare you can't use? Were you misled by the sales agent and confused about what you were buying? Timeshare Defense Attorneys offers a free consultation to find out how you may be able to cancel your timeshare legally and permanently. And while you're at it, ask for your free guide to getting out of your timeshare. Timeshare Defense Attorneys and their staff will work with you every step of the way to achieve the results you need. Timeshare Defense Attorneys Network of Lawyers has over 40 years of combined experience and thousands of clients served. We stand behind our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Call now to see if you can eliminate your financial burden and receive your free consultation and guide for exiting your timeshare.
Don't take a chance without your own legal help. Call Timeshare Defense and solve your timeshare problems. Call 800-694-2305. That's Timeshare Defense, 800-694-2305.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny, temperatures low 50s. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows drop to the mid-30s. Tuesday is going to be a mostly sunny day. Gusty winds near 20 miles per hour and temperatures expected in the low 60s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.356 is the time. Obviously, a short final segment to end the show. Terry.
Yes, George.
Let me just say for the record, I really resent your reaction moments ago to a tried and true promotion on this show.
Well, you know.
What do you mean, you know?
Da, 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 da. Well, it's a situation where, George, I know that gifts to the people are something that is a staple of this show, but it doesn't always mean that those gifts are gifts that you keep. Sometimes those are gifts that you take back to the store and get the money for it.
You asked for a rebate?
And a refund, yes.
Fine. Just say, I had a pretty darn good percentage this weekend. I was 3-0 in college. Are you aware of that?
3-0, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And so now you're going to, what's the word, parlay that into a Monday night pick, correct?
That's an interesting term you used.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Gifts to the People. All of you gather around the campfire. Daddy is here to pass out money. Watson.
Yes.
Did you watch that pathetic Tampa Bay performance 2 weeks ago on Sunday night?
You're talking about against the Saints.
Oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. There is no way that's going to happen again.
I agree with that.
I think this will be a highly motivated Tampa, much more motivated than normal for a game that, you know, is important. Rams are a good opponent. But I'm telling you, there is a burr up Tampa Bay's butt about the reaction all over the country to how poorly they played against the Saints. Therefore, tonight, you take Tampa minus the 4.5, and you will come away with riches. Got that, Terry?
I got that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Should I bet the house or just the car?
I'd say if you get with either one, you might want to check in on the Rams. Oh, gosh. No, I'm going Tampa Bay. Let's see what happens. My success rate in the last 2 weeks has been outstanding, whether you think so or not, Terry.
Yes, it has, George. I must begrudgingly admit that.
You rest well until tomorrow.
All right.
And Watson, you need to clean up your attitude, too. I didn't hear a lot of support for this promotion either.
I'll work on that tonight.
You
see
do that.
See if I get Brenda to help me with that.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
All of you, stay tuned. Johnny Ballpark Franks is in the on-deck circle. He is ready and raring to go. We'll see you tomorrow.